So the last two months, we have been looking at the biblical basics, really, of family life. What God has to say to us from His Word about a godly home and the enjoyment of the things that God has in store for you and your family. And in truth, even though we've been looking at it for about 8 weeks now, we really have only looked at the basics. As we've talked about the hard work of good communication, the important elements of worship and thanksgiving in our homes. But this we're going to look at truly an essential piece in every godly home, in every believer's life. And this morning, I want us to talk about forgiveness. Essential to any believer's life, essential to a godly home, is this practice and this discipline, this work of forgiveness. And to do that this morning, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to read a segment of the story of Joseph and his brothers. And I trust you remember the story. We'll talk about some of the elements of it, but of course the story is of Joseph. He's the son of Jacob. He's one of the 12 children of Israel. Jacob's other name is Israel. And Joseph's brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. He went through this period of great difficulty as a slave in Egypt, but ends up God raising him to the second in command of all of Egypt. And his brothers now come to Egypt, and this is the second trip in where they've come to Joseph for food is where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 45. We read, "And Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of his attendants. So he called out, 'Send everyone away from me.' And no one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. But he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still living?' But they couldn't answer him because they were terrified in his presence. And then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near me.' And they came near. 'I am Joseph, your brother,' he said, 'the one you sold into Egypt. Now don't be worried or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to life. For the famine in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. And God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Return quickly to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says: God has made me lord over all Egypt. Come down to me without delay, and you can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your sheep, and your cattle, and all that you have. And there I will sustain you, for there will be 5 more years of famine. Otherwise, you and your household and everything you have will become destitute. Look, your eyes and my brother's Benjamin eyes can see that it is I, Joseph, who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all my glory in Egypt and about all that you have seen, and bring my father here quickly.' And Joseph threw his arms around Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin wept on his shoulder. And Joseph kissed each of his brothers as he wept. And afterward, his brothers talked with him." Would you join me as we ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word? Lord, we come this morning desiring to hear from You, asking that You would speak to our hearts, that You reveal the truths that we need to hear, and Lord, that as we hear from You, that we would respond in faith, and that we'd respond in obedience. Lord, teach us these things, the things we need to live for You. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think most of us would note that the story of Joseph is an amazing story. It is the is the premier rags-to-riches story. The man who is in the deepest part of Pharaoh's dungeons, who rises to be second in command of all the land. But it is much more than that. There is strong spiritual shadows of Jesus in Joseph. A type, pointing to a prophecy of who Jesus would be. I mean, just consider it, that Joseph, I mean, part of that story is how Joseph was loved by his father, right? And certainly we know that Jesus was the only begotten son of the father. At his baptism, the father speaks and says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased," favored by his father, misunderstood and hated by his brothers. Certainly that was Joseph and that was Jesus. He was falsely accused by his own brethren who called for his crucifixion. And so he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. By the way, Joseph was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was separated, both he and Jesus, separated from his father by the sins of others. And yet, the critical piece of the story, the thing we want to focus on today, is the fact of his forgiveness. He forgives an incalculable debt. Though he endures suffering and he recognizes his suffering as the will of God. And he gives his life. He gives life and future to his family. Now, in the story of Joseph, it is his forgiveness that brings the family together. It is his forgiveness that brings glory to God. As I point to the shadow, point to the picture of Jesus that is in Joseph, I do that to say to you that you are to point people to Jesus as well. Your life, your family is to be a representation, a reflection of Jesus Christ. You know that. That's who we call ourselves. We're Christians. That means we are like Christ. We are little Christ. We represent Christ to the world. And I want to say to you this morning that you represent Jesus so evidently and obviously to the world, especially when you forgive. I know this is a hard message. Nobody likes to hear this message. I already know that. That's why I didn't publish it widely. Because some of you wouldn't even show up. It is hard work. It steps on all of us. But I want you to remember that faith and obedience always work together in the life of the believer. For when you live out your faith in Christ, you must be willing to do things to live your life God's way. When you respond in faith, and when you respond by obeying God, here's what I want to promise you this morning, is that God will give you grace to do what you think you cannot do. God will give you grace, and grace is the power of God to do His will. As we look at the biblical teaching on forgiveness, I know that we tend to read this and then we begin to rationalize our own life and our own unwillingness to forgive. We have all kinds of reasons. We do that. We rationalize. We make excuses for ourselves. It's human nature. But you are not called to human nature. You are called to the mind of Christ and to a Christ-like nature that is over and above what the world would do naturally. It's over and above what you're comfortable with. And your unwillingness to forgive is first a lack of faith, and second, an intentional choice of disobedience. And you need to begin to see it that way, because that's what it is. So the question this morning is, do you want God's blessing on your family and on your life? And if you do, then you must respond to the Word of God with obedience. And this morning, that word is, you must be willing and you must give yourself to forgive. So be open to what God would say to you this morning. And if you will take the step of obedience, I can promise you God will give you the grace to follow through. Now, what Joseph shows us is, first of all, that they're made up of imperfect people, often offend and become offended. Now, I'm talking generally about our family life, but of course it covers all of our Christian life. But here's a picture of a family. Really, a godly family. This is Jacob's family, Israel's family. But yet, in that family, we see many ways that these family members offend one another and take offense against one another. So much so that as we look at the story, we'd say, well, this is really a picture of a dysfunctional family. Well, isn't every family a bit dysfunctional? I mean, we all are. Because we are all imperfect people. But here we see this family of God doing things that they shouldn't do. We even look at Jacob, Israel, the leader of this nation that God has chosen, and yet he does what parents shouldn't do. What does he do? Well, he favors one of his sons, doesn't he? And he does it as obvious as you can do it because he has a special coat made for his favorite son, right? We all sing that song and learn that story in Sunday school, right? The many-colored robe of this boy. But think of what that did to the rest of the family. I mean, he has 11 brothers. And yet, this is the favored son. Now, to be honest, Joseph didn't have anything to do with it. It wasn't Joseph's fault that Jacob favored him over his brothers. Yet, Joseph is not without his issues either. I mean, Joseph didn't need to tell his brothers about his dreams, did he? I mean, you remember he has the dream, I'm out in a field, and we have putting together sheaves, and then all of your sheaves bow down to my sheaf. Now, we all have dreams. We don't have to tell people our dreams, right? But Joseph is just a teenage boy. He doesn't have a lot of discretion, and so he foolishly chooses to go and announce this to all of his brothers. So in chapter 37 and verse 4, it says, when the brothers saw that his father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak to him peacefully. They could not speak to their brother peacefully. What does that mean? Well, they probably mean a lot of sarcasm. A lot of sarcasm in your house? Huh? You know, they probably used cutting statements. They had their pet names that were derogatory. They had their insults. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. Sound like your home at Thanksgiving? Maybe a little bit of that. But everybody had a part in it. The brothers, they held on to that bitterness, that grudge. They were jealous. And they let that jealousy become an offense of bitterness that was exposed in hatred. And eventually became an intent on murder. And then as the story goes on in chapter 37, that Jacob unwisely sends his boy Joseph to spy on his brothers, go see how they're doing with the sheep, and report back to him. In verse 18, and the brothers saw him in a distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. And they said to one another, oh, look, here comes that dreamer. So now, come on, let's kill him and throw him in one of these pits, and we can say some vicious animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. And so they sell. The story goes on. They didn't kill him, but they sold him into slavery. He's 17 years old when this is happening. Now, if anyone had a reason to hold a grudge against his brothers, Joseph had it, didn't he? You know, the story doesn't tell all that went on in his years of slavery. It shows us some of it. But as a young man, he's sold into slavery. He's transported to a foreign nation where he's not going to know the language or the customs or the people, and he's going to be a servant in that place, and he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He's thrown into Pharaoh's prison. But yet, God's favor was on him all the way. And God protected him, and God blessed him. And you remember, he's raised now to the highest, second highest in command of the world's largest empire at the time. He was in that position providing protection for the nation as they have now stored up grain over the last 7 years to protect them for the famine that was going to happen for the next 7 years. 2 years into the famine now, Joseph's brothers have come to get grain for the family back in Canaan because they are starving. This is the second time they've come. Joseph is in a position to exact revenge, but he doesn't. Brother and sister, to withhold forgiveness is to invite bitterness into your life. I want to remind you that the relationships of your life are the richness of your life. Your life is not made up of things. It is not things and possessions that are going to bring you joy and happiness in life. It is people. It is relationships. You were crafted and created for them because God created you for a relationship with Himself. Unforgiveness, bitterness, becomes walls that separate you from others and eventually separate you from God. And many people go through their lives just building up wall after wall. And they no longer have any way to enjoy the friendships, the family that God had blessed them with. Even times like worship, even the gathering as we come together to worship God this morning, that can be blocked by unforgiveness. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 speaks so clearly of it. He says, if you're there, he's talking about in the temple, and you're there ready to offer your gift on the altar, the high holy moment of any Jewish man's life was to bring his offering to the altar of God and to find forgiveness there. And Jesus said, if you're in that, even in that precious moment, and then you remember that your brother has aught against you, there's an offense between you and your brother. Jesus said, stop what you're doing. Leave your gift there. First, go be reconciled with your brother. Why? Because those relationships are so vitally important to your life and to your spiritual relationship with God. Jesus elevated the relationships of our life in that teaching in a remarkable way, in pointing to the fact that your relationship to God is tied to your relationships with other people. The broken relationships with other people inhibit your worship of God. And notice, even in that teaching, Jesus doesn't really say who's done what to who. I mean, it's not really a picture specifically in the original language that you've offended your brother or that your brother has offended you. There's an offense between you and your brother. And Jesus says, go take care of that first. Friends, we need to recognize that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are stewards. We have a stewardship. That's a responsibility to everything that God has given to us. And what God has given to us begins with forgiveness, right? He's given us grace and that He has forgiven our sin. And they're stewards of that. We're stewards of His many faceted grace. And one of the big facets in our lives is forgiveness. He's forgiven us of so much. I mean, what God has given to you, if you think of all the things that God has given to you, what has He given to you that came at the greatest expense? Certainly it has to be your forgiveness, because that came at the expense of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are a steward of forgiveness. Also know bitterness, when we allow it into our lives, It is a subtle, destroying cancer. It is a serious spiritual stronghold. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual battle. And when you allow bitterness into your life, you have given the enemy a foothold in your life from which to launch those attacks. Jesus died on the cross so we might be free from the bondage of sin and guilt. But yet we can unknowingly put bondage back in our lives when we make ourselves a debtor to someone else through unforgiveness. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor, a debtor? They owe me. They offended me, so they're in my debt. But that's not the way it works. No, it doesn't work that way. You put yourself in debt to them when you are unwilling to forgive, right? You owe them. You owe them a bad reputation. You owe them a cold shoulder and a short reply. You owe them. You put yourself in bondage to them. And that bondage then becomes destructive. Hebrews 12:15 says, look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, thereby defiling many. The writer of Hebrews says, look at your own soul, look at your own heart carefully, diligently, so that you don't allow this to happen, that you don't allow bitterness to get hold of you. Well, bitterness only gets a hold of us when we're unforgiving. He says, don't let it happen because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to your spiritual health. It's dangerous to your physical health. And it's dangerous to your family. I mean, you may want to think that that bitterness or that offense is just something you hold to yourself, but you do not. It defiles many. And the torment that comes from it, the torment of a bitter heart, is destructive to your life and spreads. Bitterness spreads and defiles others. I've seen many, many examples of that in my ministry. Most of them I can't tell you about because I've been in this church for over 20 years. So I can look back, say, in our years in Big Rapids when we served there. At one point, we had five families in our church that were all PKs. It means they were preacher's kids. Young adults in our church that were, their family had been a preacher's family. Many of them were deeply scarred by what I refer to as secondary offenses. And I would say to you that oftentimes secondary offenses are the most dangerous offenses. What I mean by a secondary offense is it's an offense where you see someone else offended. You see someone else hurt, and then you take that offense against the person. That's secondary, right? They didn't come at you. They didn't come to offend you, but you see someone else offended, and so you become offended. And I say that's very, very dangerous. It was in the case of many of these. I could share their stories. They were deeply scarred, not because people offended them, but they saw someone else offended. In this case, they saw their father offended, and so they were hurt by that, and that hurt then became a bitterness that separated them from other believers and separated them in their own personal spiritual walk from God. It can happen to any of us. And the reason I believe that those secondary offenses are so dangerous is because I know personally that God gives you grace. When someone offends you, God gives you grace to be able to forgive them. But when you take an offense that is not yours, where's the gift of grace for that? I don't know that it's there. You expose yourself to a bitterness that... Frankly, what happens often in cases is the two people, they deal with that, and there's forgiveness between them, but that forgiveness is not shared with you. You're still there holding on to that bitterness. And bitterness will continue to do its work inside of you as it eats you up from the inside. Forgiveness becomes the release. Forgiveness is what's essential to the health of your soul and to the joy of your family. We need forgiveness in our marriage. We need forgiveness in our household. And we, as parents, have to model that to our children so that they know how to forgive one another. As a pastor, I'm frequently just shocked at families that are separated from one another. Oh, I haven't talked to my brother in 10 years. I don't talk to my kids. I haven't talked to my kids in 5 years. How can you do that? Well, that's because of bitterness. That's because of unforgiveness. That's because we're unwilling to simply be obedient to the grace that God has given to us in this walk we have in Christ. It requires forgiveness. You say, well, but I can't forget it. So to forgive them, I have to forget it, right? No, no, that's not in the Bible. Jeremiah 31, 34, probably the passage that most people will quote, will say, God is saying, I will forgive their iniquities and their sin and remember them no more. I will remember them no more. What does that mean? That means He will never bring them up again. That's forgiveness. You can't necessarily forget things. That's not a capability that we have. The point is, in forgiveness, is that we no longer hold someone by that offense. We release them. We don't bring it up again. We choose to forgive by the love of God, by the love He has given to us. And we continue to forgive. Remember, Peter was putting Jesus to the task on this one. You know, he says, well, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? 7 times? He thought he was pretty gracious that he would forgive his brother 7 times. And many of us would agree, that's pretty gracious. But Jesus said, no, but 70 times 7. Meaning forgiveness is to be a part of your life. There's not a limit to it. We forgive and we continue to forgive. Because by doing that, we are expressing the mind of Christ. And we're releasing ourselves from the danger of bitterness. I'd spend all the time I have and attempt to simply challenge you to understand the danger of bitterness to your soul. Don't let it take root. And when it takes root, kill it. And the way you kill it is forgive. I'm not saying it's easy. I know it's not easy. I'm saying you call upon God's grace. He knows how to forgive. He's shown you how to forgive. Let Him teach you how to forgive. Coming back to the story of Joseph, Joseph models the power of forgiveness for us. He shows us that it's a function of love. Again, we don't know all the dark days that Joseph went through in that prison and enslavement. But yet we can see the blessing of forgiveness. When his brothers come in, you know, he can't contain himself any longer, right? He's desiring so much to share with his brothers who he is. But he wanted them to be ready because he knew this was going to be a big shock to them. But finally, he dismisses everybody. So he's going to deal with this process of forgiveness in private. Important lesson. And Joseph says, brothers, it is I. But the brothers are afraid, right? Because what are they expecting? They're expecting revenge is coming. And we're getting paid back for what we've done. They even will confess they believe they deserve it. But what Joseph gives to them is release. He gives to them forgiveness. He doesn't hold them accountable for what they did. In fact, he simply ascribes it to God and says, God knew what He was doing. You don't need to worry about it any longer. You're forgiven. God was involved in this. He put me here. You didn't. And he threw his arms around him. And notice it says, and Joseph kissed each of his brothers. Not just his nearest brother, but each of them. And then, that last statement. I don't know if you picked up on how important it is. It says, and afterwards his brothers talked with him. Why is that important? Because if you remember the statement about his brothers beforehand, was they couldn't talk to him because of their bitterness. But that's dealt with through forgiveness. Brother and sister, I remind you that it is in forgiveness that you represent Christ. Colossians 3:13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Put it on new every morning, he's saying. And bear with each other. I mean, be patient with one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So we have an example. We have a model. And the model is Jesus. That we would forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And we find that throughout the New Testament, that teaching is there. Forgiveness is to release. To no longer hold them in bondage. To no longer to release them from owing you as you think. But you also through that release yourself. And then through forgiveness, we bring glory to God. That's the story we see in Joseph's life, that through forgiveness, Joseph brings glory to God and advances God's kingdom. See, God had provided protection, and God had provided provision for his chosen people. But if there had not been forgiveness, but God uses Joseph to make the provision because he forgave. There are so many benefits. Again, the record that follows, Joseph gets to spend time with his father again. Now his father comes and says, hey, I'm ready to die now. I've seen my son, I've seen my grandsons, I'm ready to go. But he doesn't die. In fact, you remember how old Joseph was when he was separated from his father? He was 17, right? Joseph lives another 17 years before he dies. And so Joseph, because of his willingness to forgiveness, gets to enjoy having his father in his life and having his father in his children's life and having his father's blessing and having his father's blessing his sons. And in that expression of forgiveness was the witness to an entire generation of Egyptians. God's kingdom and purposes are being advanced. But I want you to understand that they're being advanced through forgiveness. And so God wants to do in your life and in your family. Learn to forgive so that your family can experience the love of God and so that they can be a blessing to the world. I've just listed suggestions on the sheet. I don't have time to go through all those suggestions, but how do I do it? And it may be that you're faced with a bitterness that is deep and deeply rooted, and you don't even know where to begin, how to deal with it. And all you can come up with is all the rationalization, all the reasons why you can't forgive. Well, let me help you in this way. I want to suggest, if you'd be serious about it, if you just, first of all, you just simply yield yourself to God and say, God, I don't know how to do this, but I need your grace. I need your wisdom. I need your power. Guide me. And I just invite you to do these things. First, make a list of how that person has offended you. Won't be hard. I expect you could do it in your sleep, and you've probably done it in your sleep. But make the list. But then in looking at that relationship, also make a list of your own faults, the areas where you have offended, where you have responded kind. That becomes very important. Because the reality is in every relationship, there's a two-way street there. There's culpability on all of our parts. And so you make a list of your own faults. But here's the harder list. Make a list of the things that God has forgiven you of. That will be the long list. How has God forgiven you? How has God's grace been at work in your life? What things has He covered for you through the blood of His Son? And then ask God to help you view that person as a tool in God's hands to perfect your character. See, Joseph looked at his brothers and said, "You know what? God used you to put me in this position. God used you to prepare me for this role." Because it was in those years that he was in Potiphar's house that he learned to organize and manage and to give leadership that was going to be required for him then to lead the kingdom in preparation for the famine. All the hard things that Joseph went through, Joseph saw him as God preparing him for what he had for him. God uses other people in your life and sometimes the most difficult situations in your life to shape your character for his glory. Ask God to help you view that person as one that God was using to perfect your character. And ask God to forgive you first of your bitterness. Understand the danger of bitterness in your own soul and seek His forgiveness. Then with the other person, claim your part of offense when you speak to them. And if you're dealing with an offense, speak to them. Don't write a letter. Don't send a text. No, speak to them face to face. Why? Because face to face is how you communicate. Remember, communication, we talk about this in marriage, communication is largely emotions. It's not all content. And you need to look the person in the face to deal with this. And when you deal with it, claim your part of the fence and ask for forgiveness of that. And then forgive them. You say, well, they're not asking for forgiveness. Doesn't matter. Forgive them. Because you're releasing yourself. Because you need that healing. Whether they're going to participate or not, that's on them. But your need is to forgive. And let God teach you to forgive. I mean, for our own life to be thankful, for us to be able to give thanks as we have sought to do in this week, we need to be clean. We need to have been purged of bitterness. And only God's Spirit can do that when you're willing to obey. So, the challenge, what I want you to see is that God is preparing this nation to be the nation He wants them to be. Why? Because they are the ones that are going to bring to us the Messiah. Jesus comes from Joseph. You are here as His representatives today, and you are to represent Him to show His glory. And you are never more like Jesus than when you forgive. God wants to do that work through you. Let Him today. Yield your heart afresh to Him. Trust His grace. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to thank You. Lord, as You give to us examples of families like ours, as we look at Jacob's family, as we look at those brothers of under Israel, Lord, we see ourselves. Many reasons even in our own homes to take offense and to hold offense and to become bitter. Lord, we're Your children. We've experienced Your grace and we want to be good stewards of that grace. And so, Lord, we need Your strength to forgive. Some are deep offenses and some are light. But Lord, we desire to honor You with our life. The testimony of our life being one that lifts up the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we place ourselves in Your hands and we desire to take steps of obedience. So, Lord, we begin today seeking Your forgiveness, asking that Your Holy Spirit would point out those roots of bitterness that we've let develop in our own lives. And, Lord, we're praying for Your grace to help us root them out. Lord, as we come before you, we come in need of repentance and cleansing. And for we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.